Grand Performance USA, the greatest entertainers in America, as requested by you, the men and women in the United States Armed Forces throughout the world. Command Performance, presented this week and every week, till you're back from over there. Four years ago tonight, the Armed Forces Radio Service went into action. Born out of a need to provide entertainment and news to Americans scattered over the entire world, this organization grew until today it constitutes the greatest radio network on this earth. A network devoted entirely to the American soldier, sailor, and marine, wherever he may be. The entertainment world is at the command of the serviceman. Music, songs, and comedy are his for the asking. And tonight, in celebration of the fourth year of the Armed Forces Radio Service, we have Mr. Command Performance himself to handle the reins on this great birthday party, Bob Hope.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is Bob, fourth anniversary Command Performance Hope. Telling you occupational troops that although your top sergeants make you hustle, remember to save your pay, and you can go to see Jane Russell's Bustle and Brother That Ain't Hay. You been, huh? I'm really happy to be here on this fourth anniversary of Command Performance. This program has been heard not only by soldiers, but sailors as well. Yes, sir, a lot of Command Performance is afloat under the brig. And for you Army men, you know what a brig is. That's a guardhouse with water wings. But during the past 4 years, I've been on Command Performances quite a bit, and I love broadcasting to all the foreign countries except Africa. I don't mind laying an egg, but who wants to compete with an ostrich? But I did then, didn't I, huh? And, of course, my father Crosby's been on a lot of these Command Performances, too. You all know Crosby. He's the detour in the road to Utopia. He's the detour in my teeth, too. He was supposed to be here tonight, but he's home watching his four boys. He's not taking any chances now after what happened to Freddie Bartholomew. But we're really enjoying some wonderful weather here in California right now. In fact, half the people you see on the street have a beautiful... What are you, still on Jane Russell's Bustle? What are you... Let me see. Yeah, we're going back. We're really enjoying some wonderful weather here in California right now. In fact, half the people you see on the street have a beautiful tan. The rest have jobs. So lovely this last week. I invited some soldiers and sailors and waves out on a picnic. We wanted to have the picnic close to town, but we drove 50 miles before we found a gap in the Burma Shave signs. It was a real California picnic. We didn't bring along a tablecloth. We just spread our food out on the early morning fog. But things have sure changed in the woods. Remember the birds used to say whippoorwill, whippoorwill? Now they say cement mixer, putty putty. And you should have seen those soldiers eat. I said to one guy, how can you chew your food so quickly? He said, who chews? And those sailors... Want to catch up? And those sailors really have ravenous appetites. An apple dropped out of a tree and only three seeds hit the ground. In the middle of the meal, I reached up to scratch my nose, and just in time, I jerked it out from between two slices of bread. Enough there for everybody, you know. This year, the food was served buffet style. It was much better, too, when you only had six stabbings. And the ants were terrible while we were eating. The ants were awful. One ant was very particular. He spit out a piece of my sandwich, looked me straight in the eye, and said, you and your whole wheat. And after the meal, we started a crap game. I bent over to roll out the dice, but just then a bull from the next pasture horned in. He made his point before I made mine.
Brother, Father, tonight is the night. Tonight, the Armed Forces Radio Service is 4 years old. Four big candles on the biggest radio cake the world has ever known, symbolizing the 4 years in which the entertainment world has answered the requests of the GI world. Our special agent in charge of lousing up statistics, Private Snafu, has figured out that every minute of every hour of every day of those 4 years, some guy or gal in uniform at every degree of the Earth's longitude and latitude sat down and ripped off a letter to AFRS. And those letters asking for big stars and little stars, for the music and laughter of America, have been law around Armed Forces Radio. But tonight we have a special letter, a GI letter that sort of wraps up all the GI letters ever written to AFRS. This big fourth anniversary show is built around this special letter. And here's Bob Hope to read it to you.
A dear command performance. We started this big letter back in 42 when the big worry was new planes, not new cars. We said, dear command performance, how's about organizing the entertainment biz and shooting us the works via shortwave and special Army-Navy radio stations and portable phonograph outfits and stuff? And you folks came through. You really came through. No matter what we asked for, you came through. Now we're coming through with our deepest thanks to the American world. Who are we? We're the guys who shipped out of New York and Frisco on those troop transports. We're the guys who came back and the guys under those little white crosses. We're all the men who are grateful for the lift to heart and soul which the entertainment world gave us when we needed the lift, like early in the war at Midway. They told us afterwards that the Jap Navy got its first decisive defeat in 350 years. That was a screwy naval battle. Warships didn't exchange a single shot. Planes did all the fighting. One time, 22 went up. We counted them coming back. Nine, that's all, nine. Our nerves were tight as fiddle strings, but all of a sudden, during a lull in the fight, something from home came over the short wave.
Yes, man, it's Downbeat. Another session of the most democratic thing on earth, American jazz. And spotlighting a different beat in today's bash is a new combo sparked by that great drummer man, Ray Baduke. Outstanding new trumpet star takes the lead chorus as Ray Baduke gives the downbeat to Short Change.
Thank you.
Here's another page of our big GI letter. 2 months later, it was Guadalcanal. 80 by 25 miles of nothing in the middle of nowhere. Your headlines at home said Guadalcanal landings without opposition. But down here, we knew they'd be back for that airstrip. The cruisers, Canberra, Quincy, Vincennes, and Astoria knew they'd be back, too. And went down telling each other about it, all in a half hour's time. This time, there was plenty of action on the water, and to a guy from Texas, that kind of water is not exactly as pretty as the stars at night over the panhandle. So you can imagine what it meant to a kid from San Antonio when short wave from stateside brought us a musical whiff of that good old American sagebrush and cactus.
Welcome to Melody Roundup, gang. This is your ranch foreman, Cottonseed Clark, with a western welcome to another open and tying in the old corral. And here to start the proceedings is Foy Willing and his great Riders of the Purple Sage.
Where in dreams I live with a memory beneath the stars all alone. It was there I found beside the Alamo enchantment strange as the blue up above. Moonlit paths that only she would know. Still hears my broken song of love.
Moon in all your splendor, know only my heart. Call back my rose hope of San Antonio. Lips so sweet and tender, like petals falling apart. Speak once again of my love, my own.
A broken song, empty words I know. Still live in my heart alone. For that moonlit pass by the Alamo. And rose my rose in San Antonio. Song, empty words I know, still live in my heart alone. For that moonlit pass by the Alamo,
and rolls my rose of San Antonio, rolls of San Antonio. That
was Four Willing and the Riders of the Purple Sage taking off like a scalded dog after a fresh shot at rabbit with Bob Wills' good old new San Antonio Rose. You know, gang, our corral has two visitors from the city tonight. These dudes kind of think our western and hillbilly music ain't sweet and pretty, so we asked them to prove their point by stepping up here and giving out with a real sweet, serious kind of piece. And here they are, Abigail and Buddy.
When the begin,
grab your body.
It brings back a sound
of music so tender.
It brings back a night of tropical splendor. It brings back a man.
It brings back a memory
evergreen.
I'm with you once more.
Under the stars and down by the shore.
And down by the shore,
the banjos are playing. And even the palms seem to be swaying. When the begin. What moments divine, what rapture serene.
Till
clouds come along to disperse the joys we tasted. Now when I hear people curse, the chance was wasted. I know but too well what they mean. So don't let them begin the beginning.
I'll mark you, George.
Let the love of those wounds depart.
Let
it sleep like a dead bizarre. Only remember. When the begin. Oh, yes, let them begin the begin. Make them do it till the stars. Little darling, till you whisper to me, darling, I love you.
Sing her Spanish, buddy.
and El Lucio Ramon,
Del Ritmo Sanso,
De La Canción,
Tropical. We'll begin the beginning.
Si, si.
Our big fourth anniversary letter goes on. In case it slipped your minds, near the end of 42, we landed in Algiers, Oran, and Casablanca, and chased Rommel, the desert fox, into a rat hole. And, mister, we thought the ocean was bad till we hit that African desert. The flies were as big as B-29s. The heat was 10 degrees hotter than you know where. We sweat plenty, but no matter how bad it was, that little old radio receiver we rigged picked up a nearby AFRS station and gave us plenty of good things to remember.
Yes, men, it's showtime, and here comes our mythical, magical Showtime taxicab to take us through the years with stops at the best and brightest Broadway musical shows. And look who's in the back seat. It's your Showtime date for tonight. She's lovely, she's delectable. We're on the air with Janet Blair.
Hi, you fellas, this is Janet. Is everybody set for another rhythmic ride through Showtime years? Okay, then, in the cab, mates, and step on it, driver. Take us to Winter Garden Theater at Broadway and 50th Street, where Mike Todd is presenting Mexican Hayride. June Havoc, Wilbur Evans, and Karina Miura are starred in this opus by Herb and Dorothy Fields, with music by the one and only Cole Porter. All of the Cole Porter music in Mexican Hayride was simply wonderful, but I kind of think that this melody is one of the best of them all. I love you.
Turned over another leaf in our giant GI note. Up to now, the fight in the air over Germany had been plenty tough. But then along came the Schweinfurt raid, a little matter of messing up Adolf's ball-bearing production. A flock of Spitfires escorted us as far as they could, and then we ran into a gigantic reception committee which Goring's Luftwaffe had cooked up. They came in by the hundreds from all sides, from above and below. Messrs. Schmidt and Heine pressed their attack as close as 50 feet before breaking off. On the way back, those of us that were left tuned into Armed Forces Radio in England. Naturally, we weren't in a laughing mood, but that stuff in our headsets was just what the doctor would have ordered.
Stand by, Americans. Welcome to the Good Ship Mail Call, one big package of words, gaiety, and music delivered to you by the stars from whom you want to hear. And tonight we have two stars you keep clamoring for, Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy.
Thanks, Pardon. Could have done this some other time, I guess.
Yes.
Mr. Bergen?
Yes, Charlie?
What's that you got there under your arm there?
Well, I have a book here, Charlie.
Oh, that is a book, isn't it?
Yes, that's a book there.
Yeah, yeah. It's a fat one, too, isn't it?
Yes, it is, yeah.
Book of the month?
No. Oh, this is a book I've had since I was 8 years old.
Is that so?
Yeah.
You read slow, don't you?
Yeah.
Don't fool with the mic. All right. It was built that way. All right.
Yes, this is the story of Oliver Twist in this book.
It is?
Yes.
Oliver
Twist.
Oh, is that so?
Yes. You know Oliver Twist, don't you?
Know him?
Yes.
I'm the guy that straightened him out.
Oh, is that? Well, no, this is by Charles Dickens.
Well, you said Oliver Twist.
Well, Dickens wrote Oliver Twist.
Oh, he did?
Yes.
Well, that was nice of him, I think.
Would you like to hear the story?
Well, no. Arson going on down here. All right. Yeah.
Well, I shall tell you the story nevertheless.
I always get it whether I wanted it or not.
You know, it's required reading, Oliver Twist.
Yeah, but is it required listening?
Yes, it is.
And we're in for it.
Once upon a time, there was a little boy by the name of Oliver Twist.
Oh, that is good, isn't it?
Yes. And how he got his name is very interesting.
He was a pretzel bender.
No. Oh, I'll tell you.
Gentlemen, please, now.
Yes.
I used the word loosely. All right.
Where was I?
You were laying an egg right there. Yes, all right.
I'll tell you how he got the name of Twist, or Oliver.
Well, which is it?
Oliver.
All right, Oliver.
Yes. You see, he was an orphan and born in a workhouse.
Born in a clink.
Yes, he was.
He sure got off to a right start, didn't he?
Yes, he did, yeah.
Anything he did from that point was an improvement.
Well, he spent several years in the workhouse.
Yeah. And then he sold newspapers and became president.
No.
Vice president.
No.
He was a bum.
Yeah. Let me tell you how Oliver got his name.
Well, you've been on it long enough. Come on, how did he get it?
Well, I'll tell you. Oliver was given that name by the beadle of the town, Mr. Bumble.
Oh, Mr. Bumble Beetle, yes. Bumble Beetle the Bagel Bender.
No. Are you going to let me tell the story?
Oh, go ahead. Somebody's got to get the laughs here.
Yes, all right. Now, Mr. Bumble named the orphan children in alphabetical order. When Oliver was born, Bumble had just reached the T's.
D-T's?
Not D-T's. The boy ahead of him was named after S, or Scubble.
That's nice. Scubble is a nice name.
Yes. Oliver was named after T, or Twist. Now, following T, of course, the next boy will be named after U.
How did I get mixed in this?
No, I mean the letter U.
Oh, that's it.
Yes.
Well, he sure was stuck when it came to X, wasn't he?
Well, of course, there's always Xavier.
What comes after X? Well,
Y.
Oh, I don't know. I just thought I'd ask. It's light stuff, but it's amusing.
After spending several years at this workhouse.
Gentlemen, please, now. Bunch of city slickers, thank you.
After spending several years in this workhouse, Oliver was released and fell in with a man named Fagin.
What did he do?
Well, I'll tell you. He was a conniving character, a despicable person who, for his own personal gains, would use and force these young boys to make a living for him.
Was his first name Edgar?
No, no.
That one really cut, I'll bet. All right.
Yeah, now, Fagin taught these boys how to pick pockets and steal handkerchiefs.
Well, there couldn't have been much money in that sort of thing.
Well, later on, he taught them how to sneak up quietly behind victims and while they were otherwise absorbed.
Boy, you really are gumming this up. I don't care, just so you give me the feed line straight. All right. You want to sit on my knee? No, no, no.
So,
I'll go on anyway. All right.
So later on, he taught them to sneak up quietly behind his victims.
Yes, I remember. Yes. It seems only a year ago you told me that. Yes.
And then they would pick their pockets.
Is that so?
Yes. And, you know, of course that was wrong. It was very wrong.
Oh, it certainly was, yes.
So, now one dark night.
Yes, it has to be dark.
Yes, yes. And it was raining, too.
Oh, that's perfect, yes.
One night, Fagin sent his two henchmen out to rob Mrs. Maley's house. They took Oliver with them because they needed a small boy, you see, to smile through a crawl window. I mean,
You're doing nicely.
Yes.
You got Oliver twisted.
Yes, Oliver. Crawl through a small window, but the burglars were discovered, and Oliver was shot halfway through the window.
There is nothing more painful.
No. Poor Oliver was badly hurt, and Bill Sykes...
How did he get in?
Well,
this thing's a cavalcade.
He was one of the gang.
Oh, well, that's good enough explanation.
Yes. Bill Sykes carried him out and left him on the roadside in the rain to die. But Oliver didn't die.
Stubborn, huh?
Yeah. Next morning, Oliver crawled back to the house of Mrs. Maley's.
Yeah, and robbed it again.
No, no, no. And explained what happened. And what do you think happened?
They shot him in the other window. I don't think we'll need anybody else's either. Well, this is new to us, too.
Well, I don't know. I don't see much point in going any farther with this.
I saw no reason in starting it.
But I think at least you know more about him than you did before.
Who? Oliver Twist. I never heard of him.
You never heard of him? Well, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Every man here knows of Oliver Twist.
Yeah?
Yes.
Oh, Mr. Goodwin.
Yes, Charlie.
What do you know about Oliver Twist? Do you know Oliver Twist?
What key, Charlie?
Yeah, that's all, brother. That's all.
Here's a line or two in the margin of our international letter. The big three met at Tehran, but just before that, we had a little meeting of our own in an atoll called Tarawa. Our meeting made the newsreels, too. Not long after that, our delegates attended a session on the beachhead at Anzio, halfway up the Italian coast. There was a little mobile expeditionary radio station that belonged to the Fifth Army. It came right onto the beach with us, and we won't forget the time when the Jerrys came over in another heavy raid, and through the ack-ack, we heard the announcers say, "Hold your hats, kids, here we go again." And while the raid was going on, we heard...
Hi, fellas. This is G.I. Jill, all set to serve up another session of G.I. Jive for Joes and Jacks all over the world. Music by the best of them, for the best of them. Well, tonight it looks like we take over APO 927, because, believe it or not, we've been invited to a birthday party. According to a letter from Sergeant Matty Fry of 927, their outfit is 2 years old today. Well, Sergeant, I've always said we answer any request, but yours is going to be tough. Frankly, I don't see how it'll work. But, as you said in your letter, a sergeant is never wrong, so stand back. Are the candles all lit? Okay, then. Here goes. Well, did I get them all? Well, now let's see, where were we? Oh, yes, tune number one with four gals in person to do it. The King Sisters. You got your whole library with you, Kings? We need a special one.
What'll it be? Swing, Sweet, Dixie?
Well, here, you read the letter yourself, Yvonne. What do you think?
Dear Jill, four of us have a special request. The four of us want the four King Sisters, one each, to do a chorus of When the Swallows Come Back to Capistrano. Could be.
Will be. For Lenny the Lynx, Droopy Drawers, and Gus the Gargoyle, and Willie the Wit, all of that certain artillery unit, here's the King Sisters with When the Swallows Come Back to Capistrano.
When the swallows come back to Capistrano, that's the day you promised to come back to me. When you whispered farewell in Capistrano, 'twas the day the swallows flew out to the sea. All the mission bells will ring, a thousand voices sing, the happiness you bring will live in my memory. When the swallows come back from Capistrano, that's the day I pray that you'll come back to me. When the chicks arrive with the jive from Capistrano, that's the day,
hooray,
hooray,
that you will come back to me.
When the cats come out with the Valtorini from Capistrini, what a beat's all real
when you come back to me.
All the brasses will blast. Hope the drummer can last till all the witches get on a stick and fly to Capistrano. What a kick. When the swallows come on, man, the blues will be gone from Capistrano. So fly, fly back for me.
D-Day on the beaches of Normandy was a long day, the day we learned that this was a war of supplies. It was a toss-up between us and the sea that day was completely Nazi. The rain wasn't coming down in sheets, it was coming down in blankets. We left our muddy slit trenches with mess kits in our hands looking for some hot chow. We leaned into a 45-mile-an-hour wind. We could hear it whistling above the guns in the surf. We huddled around our jeeps trying to get some protection from the wind and rain. Then something happened. We heard the sound of music, American jive. Of course, the wind and the rain were all mixed up with a boogie-woogie, but we could still hear it. We looked at each other and began smiling. And whatever anyone tells you, that was the day the war of supplies was lost by Schicklgruber and won by Uncle Sam. That program went on all afternoon.
The
Yes, men, it's Jubilee winging its way with a solid safari into the land of the jumping cadenza. We're going to beam you steam that's on the beam with a modicum of the mellow sprinkled over lightly and politely with a rasher ready wrist. We've corralled a set of double-barreled boot peddlers to bring you the glad tidings from the lush land of cadenzas and pizzicatos. It's the Slim Gaylord Trio.
We have a very groovy Rooney session cooked up, a little number of very mellow Vouty from that new picture, Road to Pomona.
Cement makes a putty-putty.
Cement makes a putty-putty. I'm a bully-boot,
bully-scoot,
bully-mouty. Cement makes a
putty-putty.
Cement makes a putty-putty. I'm a bully-boot.
Jingle bell.
Jingle bell, Rooney.
Vouto.
Vouto, Rooney.
Rooney.
Bob and
me, ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Oh, Chloe. Chloe, where are you?
Thank you.
Here's another page of our big letter. When we left the Philippine Islands, we made a vow and a stack of lies. We vowed we'd come back. And on October 21st, 1944, we made good our promise and landed on Leyte. The going was good as such things can be, and we were thankful. 2 months later, on the other side of the world, we ran into big trouble. The Krauts launched a crushing counterattack in Belgium. You remember, don't you, the Battle of the Bulge? We had to stand and hold. We needed all the help we could get. Along with that help, we needed something else, something you can't quite put your finger on, because it's down deep inside a fighting man's heart.
Greetings, friends. Once again, we invite all of you to join with the choir and let the music of the old hymns chase your cares away. But first, we want to thank Staff Sergeant Simon Fisher for his kind and thoughtful letter. Sergeant Fisher enclosed a message from one of the war's religious leaders that he wants to share with you. He wrote, "Now in war, when there is so little time and so much that needs to be done, I must confess that I cannot keep hammering my own concept of God at the hands of distraught men. There is no time now to argue with a man who sees him differently, even a man who wants to see him only as a sense of decency, a faith in righteousness, a belief in fair play, a vision of tomorrow and tomorrow. It is the results, the feeling for God, that counts most right now." Now, the Bob Mitchell Boy Choir sing Schubert's beloved Ave Maria.
Let's see here. What does this page of our letter say? We had some friends who need a little help in the way of weapons and materials so they could help us even more. So we got together and carved the Lido Road out of the burning rocks of the northwest Himalayas, and our trucks rolled into Kunming after running the toughest gauntlet that ever wrinkled the face of Mother Earth. And then we introduced our Chinese friends to a different kind of American material.
Hello, G.I. Journal Editor-in-Chief Kay Kaiser speaking. What's that? You want to place an ad in the G.I. Journal? Well, wait till I get a pencil. Okay, shoot. Private first class with pair of field glasses would like to meet beautiful girl with window shade half up. Object, I'm beginning to see the light. Okay, we'll print that right up. Gosh, it sure is swell to be back in the old swivel chair again. I'm just itching to get started on some real news. I wonder when my star reporter will call in. It should be right about now. See? Hello, city desk.
Hello, KK. This is JC.
Why, Jerry Colonna, where are you?
I'm in enemy territory.
Well, you better get back to your own lines.
Okay, boss. But there's barbed wire strung up all around me. I'll make a run for it, around to the left. Well, I'll make a run for it, around to the right. And I'll try it straight down the middle. Well, I'm open for suggestions.
You're an idiot. Now get going on your assignment.
Okay, KK. As soon as I get my second win. Right now, I'm all peeped out.
You mean pooped out.
Peep.
Poop.
Poop.
Peep.
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 Poop. Peep.
Poop.
Would you believe it? We're both over 35 years old.
I'm a little like Peep-Poop-A-Barber there, isn't it? Huh? Well, look here, Colonna. I sent you out for a story about our big guns.
Well, Chief, I'm overseas with an artillery unit, and these guns are really amazing. They've got one big gun that's so big, two people can fit right in the barrel.
That's ridiculous. It's impossible for two people to fit inside a gun barrel.
It is?
Certainly.
Shall we get out, honey?
Well, listen, you're the worst reporter I ever saw, Colonna. I told you to get a story about those artillery outfits.
Well, that's a tough assignment, Kay. Those big guns make a terrible noise. I can't stand the noise.
Well, why don't you put your fingers in your ears?
I tried that yesterday.
What happened?
Fingertips touched.
Listen, Colonna, if your fingertips touch, that means that your head is entirely empty. There's nothing there but a vacancy.
Yes, only one in Los Angeles, too.
Well, listen, what are you doing now, Colonna?
I'm conducting a very important experiment.
Are you really?
Oh, yes, indeed. I've got two shells from a big gun, and I'm banging them together to see how much force it takes to explode them.
Now, don't do that, Colonna. Don't do that. Oh.
All in the interest of science, you know.
Colonna, you're a stupid moron.
What do you know? Now I'm a blasted idiot.
Oh, that Colonna will never learn. Let me see. I've got to get this edition of G.I. Journal on the presses. Say, our beauty expert hasn't turned in her copy. Oh, Linda! Linda Darnell!
Did you call me, Chief?
Boing! Say, Linda, do you like working here?
Why, I love it, Kay. You know, it's so nice to work with someone from the older set.
Older set? Why, you must have me mixed up with Crosby and Hope. I thought I looked pretty good lately.
Oh, you do, Kay. You really do. In fact, I hope my father looks half as well as you do when he gets to be your age.
Oh, you do. You really do, huh? Well, please, Linda. Would Betty Grable go out with me if I were an old man? Would Lana Turner go out with me if I were an old man? Would Ann Sheridan go out with me?
Do they go out with you?
No, but they got other reasons.
Hey, darling, you don't understand. I like older men.
Oh, you like older men, eh?
Yes.
Of course, I'm not too young, you know.
Okay, you know, I like men of the world. Suave, debonair men. I want a man with polish.
Have you tried Fibber McGee?
Okay, please don't joke. I thought we two might go out sometime.
But, Linda, you're pretty. You're charming. You're attractive. You're not the type of girl I go out with. I always get the other one.
Okay, please, won't you reconsider?
Oh, no, Linda, it wouldn't work. Sophisticated girls are the kind for me, the sophisticated girls. You are so pretty and simple.
Well, thanks, Kay, and I think you're pretty simple, too.
Listen, Linda, I don't want to hurt you, but there's something I feel you should know.
What is it, Kay?
You see, there's another woman in my life.
Oh, well, that's different. I'd never dream of horning in on Dame Mae Whitty.
Please, I've stood about enough. Any man who will take those insults is a dope, an imbecile, a jerk.
Did anyone ring for me?
Well, who are you? And heaven forgive me for asking.
Oh, I'm a general, current, cap, loot, private sad sack.
Oh, private sad sack. Well, what are you doing here?
Well, you see, each week we're going to do another chapter of my life.
Oh, your life, huh? Well, whoever said you were alive?
Huh? Oh, well, my mother, my father, my sister, the people in the next, even Ripley doesn't believe it.
Well, oh, well, if we must, we must. The life of the sad sack. Fanfare, please. Sounds like my band. Many years ago in a small western town, a baby is born. The mother looks lovingly at her baby for the first time and says... But as time goes by, the parents grow fond of the little shaver, and when he is 2 months old, they give him his first bath. The father looks proudly at his wife and says...
Let's hold his head under another 3 minutes.
As he grew older, the sad sack had trouble with his schoolwork. But on the most important examination of the year, he got the highest mark in the class. The teacher said,
That's wonderful, sack. How did you do it?
And he proudly replied,
Well, you see, I studied all in the midnight, all in the enemy. I burned the midnight oil. I cheated.
And so, as he goes through life, the sad sack begins to feel that everyone detests him. But that isn't true. Only his friends. One day, there's an interruption in sad sack's career. He received an important letter. He opened it and began reading.
Dear Mr. Gentlemen, greetings.
And so he rushed down to the draft board.
I want a deferment.
Sounds like there's somebody here that knows what you're talking about. Yes, the sack is inducted. After basic training, he is shipped overseas and is sent out with a walkie-talkie to scout. He spots the enemy.
Hey, Sarge, I want to report. I want to report. I just captured. I got him to their trap. I got him to their trap. Help! I'm a prisoner!
And while the sack is in prison, pacing the floor, planning a method of escape, help arrives.
Hooray for the Army Air three cheers for the cavalry. Hooray for the infantry. Hooray for the infantry. Thanks, Superman.
And one day, the sack came to me for advice. Sack, I said, you should meet a nice girl. Say, I know just the one. It's lovely Linda Darnell.
Oh, my gosh, I'd be scared to meet Linda Darnell.
Oh, there's nothing to be afraid of. All you have to do is go through that door and keep repeating to yourself, I'm brave. I'm fearless. I am the master.
Well, okay, I'll try it. I'm fearless.
Hello.
You're the girl, huh?
Why, yes.
Do all girls look like you?
Oh, never mind that, Zach. Come over here and sit down beside me. Oh, come on.
Nah, I don't want to.
Oh, come on. I won't touch you.
Right up to there, you nearly had me.
Sit down beside me. There, that's a good boy. So you're Sad Sack, huh?
Yep, that's me.
Well, here we are.
Yep, here we are.
All alone.
Yep, all alone.
Just you and me.
Yep. we want a potato chip.
Don't talk like that, Zach. Take me in your arms and kiss me.
Nothing doing. What do you think I am, a chump?
Kiss me. Well, how was that?
All right, just a minute. What's going on in here?
I just kissed Linda Darnell.
Oh, you're an imbecile. Come here, Linda. I'll show him how you should be kissed.
Oh, is that the way you do it?
Our fourth anniversary letter to AFRS goes on. We pounded our way under the volcanic ash at Iwo Jima and dug into it to get away from the Japanese mortars. It was like trying to dig a hole in a barrel of hot quicksand, but we dug in and prayed. On the fourth day, we raised our heads and saw the stars and stripes waving 500 feet above us on Mount Suribachi. From then on, the battle was ours. Across the world from Mount Suribachi, we crept across the Remagen Bridge at 4:10 one morning, feeling our way over the new-fallen snow. We hit the German side, 11 of us in the dark, before daybreak. We watched Johnny Mitchell defuse the explosive under the bridge and open the way to Germany and Berlin. Yes, we sweated in the far Pacific during the day and froze throughout that night along the Rhine. And we dreamed.
Fred McMurray in your Remember program, back for a fast few minutes of reminiscing. I bring you some old songs and some old reminders. Tonight we hit the memory trail back to 1935. That was the year, you remember, that Jimmy Braddock beat Max Baer for the heavyweight title. And it also was the year in which the nation's women thrilled to the appearance of Clark Gable in Mutiny on the Bounty. I don't know how many of you remember that picture, but in it, Clark Gable came out with his big bronze chest and the women swooned. And that was quite a while before anyone had heard of Sinatra. Besides a lot of good pictures, there were plenty of good tunes that year. You Are My Lucky Star, Got a Feeling You're Foolin', Red Sails in the Sunset, and a sweet little ditty called I've Had My Moments. And here to sing I've Had My Moments for you are the four ever-lovely, ever-loving King sisters.
I've had my moments,
During a long war, the hours became as hopeless as they are long. And just when the hours of this war seemed the longest, a group of men crowded around an incoming B-29 in the island of Guam. Here are their words in our GI note to AFRS. This was just another B-29 returning from another mission. But was it? This B-29 was just back from Hiroshima. That is, just back from what was Hiroshima. We heard them tell of a flash brighter than man's dream of eternal peace, a column of smoke taller than 1,000 Empire State Buildings, and we realized that a war was dying and something new was being born. God forbid that it would be a new kind of war. And that night, what most of us on Guam wanted was escape from this horrible new thing. We wanted music soft as candy floss.
This is Donald Crisp, bringing you Words with Music. The words of Thomas Hood in his poem entitled, I Remember. I remember the house where I was born, the little window where the sun came creeping in at morn. He never came a wink too soon, nor brought too long a day. And now I often wish the night had borne my breath away. I remember the roses red and white, the violets and lily cups, those flowers made of light, the lilacs where the robin built, and where my brother sat, the laburnum on his birthday, the tree is living yet. I remember where I was used to swing and thought the air must rush as fresh to swallows on the wing. My spirit flew in feathers then that is so heavy now, and summer pools could hardly cool the fever of my brow. I remember the fir trees dark and high. I used to think their slender tops were close against the sky. It was a childish ignorance, but now 'tis little joy to know I'm farther off from heaven than when I was a boy.
Here's a page of our international GI letter that I really get a kick out of, because I remember way back in 1942 when a couple of stateside army boys came out to Hollywood and tried to sell our town on a show called Command Performance. Listen to this page from our big GI letter. We've been everywhere. We've seen everything. We've taken it on the chin and we've dished it out. But Hollywood, we're telling you something. The way good old Command Performance has dished it out these 4 years wins the fur-lined foxhole. Command, old boy, you followed us from Pearl Harbor to VJ Day. Now that we're occupation troops, you're still occupying our spare hours. Command Performance, grandpappy of all the overseas shows. Yes, sir, Command Performance, you're the tops.
Hello, gang. This is Bill Goodwin, tearing the string off another batch of requests to Command Performance, Armed Forces Radio, Los Angeles, USA. Yes, it's another star-studded package of entertainment with Fred McMurray, Janet Blair, and your master of ceremonies, Bob Hope.
Bill Goodwin, and hiya, gang. Say, Bill, do you know you were almost late for the show? Where were you?
I was out in the park making love to your secretary.
That's the first decent excuse you've ever had. You mean you were actually making love to her?
Well, yeah, she's just my type.
What do you mean, she's just your type?
She's a dame.
How can you make love to a woman like that? She's ugly, she's stupid, and she has the world's worst figure. And besides, she's engaged to me.
Time, Robin. You mean to say an ugly-looking dame like that is engaged to you?
That's right, Bill. Thank goodness I'm not engaged to her.
Personally, I prefer a girl who looks a little more like a woman.
Then why are you fooling around with her?
Bill, as you go through life, you learn that if you can't get a 30-day furlough, a 3-day pass is better than nothing. But let's get to the request sent in to Command Performance.
Okay, Bob, a request from the Basin Street Society of downtown Saipan asks us to do a daytime serial.
Oh, good. Here's one that'll set radio back at least 10 years. A little music, Michelle.
The makers of Root Boot. The scent. The sensational new vitamin food for flowers presents The Ups and Downs of Brenda Scuttlebutt Girl Yo-Yo. But first, a word from our sponsor.
Men, do you like to putt around the garden with an old pot? Would you like to know the new modern way to keep your plants from falling down? Then get Root Voot. The new product that will make your night bloomers snap to attention. Every drugstore has Root Voot. Ask for the new Melaroni pocket size. 12 feet by 9, and remember our guarantee. If you think you've gotten gypped by buying Root Voot, don't gripe about it. Think of us. We got warehouses full of the stuff. Listen to what one satisfied customer says about Root Voot.
I planted Root Voot in my garden yesterday, and today when I looked out the window, guess what? Everything was dead.
Thank you very much. And now for our story, The Ups and Downs of Brenda Scuttlebutt, Girl Yo-Yo. You remember that yesterday Brenda drank the iodine before the cops came, but they gave her the third degree and pumped it out of her. In the meantime, Harvey, Brenda's cousin by a former marriage, has gone to Squire Albert's to inquire about Larry, who received a tragic letter from Mrs. Philpott's nephew, Richard, who told him to split up between Bernice and Fitzroy, the butcher's son, who happened to see Charles and Julius leaving the mysterious Grayson house in that bitter afternoon in December before it was set on fire by the gang of counterfeiters. Naturally, Brenda was a little confused by all this, especially since Dr. Peterson had told her that little Nancy would recover, and as we meet her this morning, she's in a little room watching, waiting, hoping. Suddenly, there is a knock at the door. The door opens. And Brenda speaks.
No. 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 It can't be you. It can't be you.
Tune in tomorrow. Can it be him or somebody else? And men, remember to use Root Voot plant food. Root Voot makes even a shrinking violet snap at a tiger lily.
Pardon me, say, hey, but won't it make the flowers and plants grow too fast, hey?
I... Just read what's there, if you don't mind. I don't know about you, but I don't have a change of linen. Time they've ever picked up an option in the middle of a show. Hey, you said, I wouldn't say that, but as soon as you sprinkle some Root Voot on the seeds, run for your life and take cover. That's where we need a laugh, right there. And there you have your daytime serial, fellas. Thank you, Janet Blair, for an outstanding performance.
Oh, what's outstanding about that part, Bob?
Look, Janet, it isn't the words that matter. It's the work we put into the script. You don't realize what trouble we have getting a show on the air.
You have trouble? Say, you should have seen the trouble we had at the studio last week. After what happened to me, all visitors were barred from the set.
What happened to you? Why couldn't it have been me?
Oh, it was awful, Bob, really. Fred McMurray and I were doing a love scene, and some man kept wandering around the set with his little boy, and every time the camera started rolling, here's what happened.
All right, this is a take. Roll them. Go ahead, Miss Blair.
Oh, Victor. Victor, you know how I feel about you. Why do you treat me so cruelly?
I don't mean to treat you cruelly. You like that better, Bob.
me the cue.
I knew that stuff was going to play funnier than this stuff.
Please. Our scene must go on. Oh, Victor, you know how I feel about you. Why do you treat me so cruelly?
I don't mean to treat you cruelly, Allison. It's just...
What in the world is... Hey, you with the little boy. Can't you keep the kid quiet?
Herman, what's the matter with you? Tell you not to touch anything on the set?
I'm sorry, Papa.
At last, Goodwin has a part that fits him, yeah?
I'm trying to do a love scene with Miss Blair.
What's so hard about that?
Please, Herman, that's no way to talk, please. Go ahead, folks, sorry.
Oh, Victor, take me in your arms and tell me it was all a mistake.
No, Allison, my darling. Oh, you're so beautiful. Your lips are so soft.
Papa, what are they doing?
Herm, don't you remember that stuff I told you? This is just as hard to read, you know. Don't you remember that stuff I told you about the birds and the bees?
Yeah, but they ain't flying.
That's what you think. Now keep quiet.
Oh, dearest, all I want in life is you.
But, Allison...
Please, Victor, please. I'll work for you. I'll slave for you.
No, Allison, I can't.
Oh, I'll scrub floors for you.
No, Allison.
I'll cook. I'll sew. I'll sweep.
No. What's he waiting for? That's the terms you accepted from Mama.
What'd you say, Herm? Herm.
Well, what's he waiting for? That's the terms you accepted from Mama.
Please, mister. My line, please,
go
Bob.
Ahead,
please, mister, can't you do something about that child?
Don't worry, tonight I'll drop a razor in his Mickey.
Pop, she's some classy looking tomato, ain't she?
Herman, how many times have I told you it's tomato?
Hey, she's wonderful, huh, Pop? Ain't she wonderful, huh, Pop? Ain't she, Pop? Huh, Pop? Ain't she wonderful, huh? Huh, Pop? Ain't she wonderful, huh?
Now, son, she's just another woman like your mother.
Oh, we was robbed.
Say, mister, if you'll keep that child of yours quiet, we'll try to get on with my scene.
Okay, Miss Blair.
Oh, everyone wants to get in yet. Oh, Victor... Victor, take me in your arms and tell me it was all a mistake.
Oh, Allison, my darling, you're so beautiful. Your lips are so soft.
Papa.
Dearest, all I want in life is you.
But, Allison...
Please, Victor, I'll work for you. I'll slave.
Papa.
Shut up.
But, Papa, what is it? What is it?
Papa, I gotta...
You'll have to wait till we get home.
Oh, no, Papa, no, no.
Huh?
No.
Now?
I got you.
Yeah.
All right, come on. I never saw a kid so crazy about brushing his teeth. Come on. The blacked-out troop transports that left New York and San Francisco have come back and have docked in the bright light of victory. But the guys don't all jump off those boats, you know. Some hobble off, others limp off, and many come off on stretchers. And according to our international letter, a lot of terrific girls from home came to see us guys in the stretchers. And now that we're home, they're still calling on us. They drop in each day by radio. Swell gals they are, folks.
Hello, fellas. It's Frances Langford back again with another Purple Heart album. I'm strictly a hospital gal these days, gang, bringing you the songs and music you've asked to hear. This next number is for PFC, William Story, who saw service at Palau and who is now at the Letterman General Hospital. For Sergeant Hank Jackson at the Regional Hospital at Fort Knox, Corporal Bob Hendricks at the Tilton General Hospital, Fort Dix, New Jersey. Private Arthur Lewin at the Old Farms Convalescent Hospital at Avon, Connecticut. For Sergeant Robert Steele, Fitzsimmons General Hospital, Denver, Colorado. And for Lee Bolton at the William Beaumont Hospital, El Paso, Texas.
We'll be waltzing again pretty soon to the tune of home. We'll be dreaming again pretty soon neath the moon where sweethearts roam. The same lips that whispered I love you before, the same arms that held you will hold you once more. We'll be waltzing again pretty soon to the tune of home sweet home.
Folks, I think we've about shinny down to the bottom of our big GI letter, so I guess that's all. No, wait. Here's a couple of last-minute lines. 4 years we've listened to the AR4RS gang. 4 years we've pictured you folks on stage there in Hollywood, whooping it up, missing your cues. On purpose, of course, and you know what? Every minute of those 4 years, you've been right next door to us. If it was a foxhole, you were in the foxhole next to us. If it was a hospital ward, you were in the ward next to us. In fact, all you people of show business have been the cement between the home front and our front. For all you've done and are doing, thanks, they're pals. How about that? This is Bob Hope. Good night.
This is my country, grandest on earth. My blessing, my allegiance, America.
Was arranged with the aid of the Hollywood Coordinating Committee. This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.